الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. We continue our readings in the book Kitab al-Tawheed by the great scholar and Sheikh al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى. Still reading from the Muqaddima and the introduction of the author, he mentioned Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim Kitab al-Tawheed. Then he mentions several verses, رحمه الله تعالى. And we read from the third verse, وَقَوْلِهِ وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. The author, he mentioned the verse, the third proof and the evidence for the right and the obligation of Tawheed and the status and the rank of Tawheed, and that it is the most important obligation and the first obligation, and it is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. The meaning of this noble verse, and your Lord has decreed that you worship none but Him, and that you be dutiful to your parents. Al-Ayat. And the meaning complete until the end of the Ayat. The Ayat continues, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions the issues with regards to the parents. And then, if we continue reading the verses that follow this noble verse, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ, and your Lord has decreed that nothing should be worshipped except for Him, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions a number of rights and a number of obligations and commandments, and likewise a number of prohibitions, one after the other. Beginning after that with the right of the parents, first mentioning the right of Allah Azza wa Jal, and then coupling that with the mention of the right of the parents. And then likewise mentioning the right of the needy and the wayfarer, and also mentioning the prohibition of wasting and being in extravagance, and other than this from the commandments and prohibitions that Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned in these noble verses, beginning them in this manner. And likewise in the verse before this, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in the verse just before this, لَا تَجْعَلْ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٌ فَتَقْعُدَ مَذْمُومًا مَخْذُولًا, and set not up with Allah any other God, or else you will sit down reproved and forsaken in the hellfire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He began these verses in this manner, mentioning the prohibition of shirk and associating partners with Allah Azza wa Jal, and then likewise mentioning the right that Allah has decreed, that He has commanded that none should be worshipped but Him. And then mentioning after this other prohibitions and other commandments, and thus beginning with the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the mention of these legislated affairs indicates the greatness and the status of Tawheed, and that it is the greatest commandment, and that the prohibition of shirk is the greatest prohibition. And likewise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He closed the mentioning of these commandments and these legislated affairs with the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٌ فَتُلْقَى فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَلُومًا مَدْحُورًا, and do not set up any other ilah with Allah Azza wa Jal, lest you should be thrown into the hellfire blameworthy and rejected from Allah's mercy. So beginning these verses with the mention of several commandments and prohibitions and the rights of many of the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, beginning before that with His right, and closing likewise with the prohibition of a shirk, beginning with the prohibition of shirk and the command to give Him His right, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and closing with the prohibition of shirk. All of this is indication that the greatest right is the right of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the most important right is the right of At-Tawheed, and the greatest of all of the commandments is the commandment to worship Allah alone, and the greatest of all of the prohibitions is the prohibition of ash-shirk and associating partners with Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned here, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ وَقَضَى. The ulama, they mentioned that the word qada, it means to decree. قَضَى يَقْضِي الْقَضَى. is a decree. But the ulama, they mentioned that there are two types of decree. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He speaks about the qada. And one type is called al-qada al-shar'i, which is the legislative decree. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has legislated and He has commanded. And in this decree, this is with regards to everything that is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other type of decree that Allah mentions in His book, and that the ulama have clarified, is al-qada al-kawni. And this is a type of decree that it must occur. Whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla, He has decreed in His universe to occur and to happen, then it will happen. And whatever Allah did not decree, then it will not happen. As for the legislative decree, then this could occur and it could not occur, according to the universal decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there are things that occur in the universe and in this world that Allah has decreed universally that are not from the things that Allah loves. For example, Allah does not love disbelief, but He has decreed it for a wisdom. And He does not love disobedience, but He has decreed it for a wisdom, and it occurs for a wisdom. But with regards to the legislative decree, then this is everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves and is pleased with. But some may be given success to perform this legislative decree and others may not. The intent in the verse here is the legislative decree. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. And your Lord has decreed legislatively that none should be worshipped but Him. Those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives success to perform this, they are the upright and the pious servants. And others, they do not have this ability. Then this is from the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, likewise from the universal decree. But we see that this is the case. The ulama, they mentioned that here this is a legislative decree, that Allah has decreed legislatively in His deen that nothing should be worshipped except for Him. That nothing should be worshipped except for Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the author, he mentioned the fourth verse and the fourth evidence for the right of tawheed, and for the rank and status of tawheed, and the great obligation of a tawheed. And he says, وَقَوْلِهِ وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. And worship Allah alone and do not associate any partners with Him. Likewise, we see the wisdom in the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, by beginning with this verse, as he began with the previous verse, indicating directly the right of tawheed, and that nothing is worthy of worship except for Allah. This is the direct understanding from the verse, but these verses, they come in a context that clarify the right of tawheed. Likewise, this noble verse here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in Surah An-Nisa, beginning in this manner, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. This verse here is called Ayatul Hukuk al-Ashara. This verse here is known to the ulama as the verse of the 10 rights. The verse in Surah An-Nisa, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in this noble verse, beginning with His right, subhanahu wa ta'ala, beginning with the right of Allah Azza wa Jal, and then He mentioned 9 other rights. All of this is an indication that Allah has begun with His right first, indicating that the right of tawheed is the greatest right. So this verse is known to the ulama as the verse of the 10 rights. Chapter number 4, chapter An-Nisa, verse number 36. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions, وَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا, the first right. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, the second right. وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى, the third right. وَالْيَتَامَى, the fourth right. وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, the fifth right. وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى, the sixth right. وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُوبَ, the seventh right. وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبَ, the eighth right. وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ, the ninth right. وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ, the tenth right. Beginning with the 10 rights of the different individuals that a person, the 10 rights, and then mentioning the right of Allah Azza wa Jal, and then the rights of the creation after that. Beginning with the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal, indicating the great right of at-tawheed. Worship Allah and join none in worship with Him, and do good to your parents, kinsfolk, orphans, and the needy. the neighbor who is near of kin, and the neighbor who is a stranger, the companion by your side, and the wayfarer you meet, and those slaves whom your right hands possess. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَارًا فَخُورًا, that verily Allah does not like such as are the proud and boastful. So mentioning the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal first, and then mentioning the rights of many of the people that we come into contact with and we have dealings with, but first beginning with His rights, subhanahu wa ta'ala, an indication of the great status and the rank of Tawheed. The great status and the rank of Tawheed, and that it is the greatest obligation, and that it is the first and most important obligation. Likewise, in both of these verses, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clarified the meaning of the true meaning of the statement, La ilaha illallah, which is based upon an-nafi wa ithbat, negation and affirmation. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ, and your Lord has decreed that none should be worshipped, this is negation, except for Him, this is affirmation. This is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. There's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. Likewise, in this verse here, وَاعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا, and worship Allah alone, and do not associate partners with Him whatsoever. Likewise, clarifying the meaning of it, Tawheed. The meaning of it, Tawheed. And clarifying the meaning of the statement, La ilaha illallah. وَاعْبُدُ اللَّهَ, this is affirmation. وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا, this is negation. General negation encompassing all things. Nothing is worthy of worship whatsoever except for Allah. Affirming that for Allah specifically, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see that Allah has mentioned in this first verse the right of His to be worshipped alone, and then mentioning after that many other commandments and prohibitions. Allah has decreed and commanded many things legislatively, many actions that are obligatory, and many prohibitions that are likewise obligatory to refrain from. Beginning with His right, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is an indication that the greatest obligation is the obligation to worship Him alone with no partners. Likewise, beginning with the first prohibition, beginning these verses in this context with this prohibition to associate partners with Allah Azza wa Jal, and then likewise mentioning after that other prohibitions, this is an indication that the greatest prohibition is the prohibition of shirk. And likewise in the verse after that, the verse of the 10 rights, beginning with the right of Allah Azza wa Jal first, is an indication of the high rank and status, and that this is the greatest right and the greatest obligation. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has set many rights, and that for Himself He has a right, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then likewise He has given others from His creation rights. But the greatest right is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is to be worshipped alone. And this is the right of At-Tawheed. This is what is understood from these verses and the evidence that it is entailed, and the point or the shahid of the mention of the author for these verses, yarhamukallah. And then likewise after this, the author, he mentioned the fifth verse and the fifth evidence for the obligation of Tawheed and the right and the rank and the status of Tawheed, and that it is the greatest obligation and the first obligation, and likewise that the greatest prohibition and the first prohibition is the prohibition of shirk. He mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَقَوْلِهِ قُلْ تَعَالَوْا أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ أَلَّا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. He says, mentioning the verse in Surah Al-An'am, verse number 151, say, O Muhammad, come, I will recite what your Lord has prohibited you from. Join not anything in worship with Him, and be good and dutiful to your parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in these three verses, He has mentioned the wasiyah and the great command for the affairs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with, beginning with this manner, the command to stay away from associating partners with Allah Azza wa Jal. The command to stay away from associating partners with Allah Azza wa Jal is the prohibition. So we see this is indication that this is the greatest prohibition. The first thing that Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned here, is the prohibition of ashirk. And these noble verses, we'll read them. He mentioned many rights again. So in this, and he began this context here with the prohibition of shirk. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, قُلْ تَعَالُوا أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ أَلَّا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْلَاقٍ نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. He said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, come, I will recite what your Lord has prohibited you from. Join not anything in worship with Allah. Join not anything in worship with Him. Be good and dutiful to your parents. Kill not your children because of poverty. We provide sustenance for you and for them. Come not near to the fawahisha, the shameful and evil sins, illegal sexual intercourse and the likes, whether committed openly or secretly, and kill not anyone whom Allah has forbidden, except for a just cause, according to Islamic law. This He has commanded you, that you may understand. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He closed these three verses in a manner like this. The first verse, He closed it, ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. This He has commanded you that you may understand. Each of these verses here, we will see they're closed with ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ, ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ, ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ. And the first verse, He mentioned لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, so that you may understand, so that you may understand. Al-wasiyya is al-amr al-mu'akkid, a certain affair and command. It's called the wasiyya. Likewise, with regards to inheritance, a person has a wasiyya, which is called like a last will and testimony. This is something that he is certain that he wants to give away from his wealth and give, or a right that he would like to give to somebody. But here, this wasiyya, it is a command. It is a command likewise, to kul awsa or wassa bishayin, and it is a command, amara. وَإِذَا وَصَّى اللَّهُ بِشَيْءٍ أَمَرَهُ وَأَوْجَبَهُ وَشَرَعَهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. The wasiyah of Allah Azza wa Jalla is His legislation and His commandment, and what He has made is an obligation. So here we see that Allah Azza wa Jalla, He has mentioned these rights in the first verse, beginning with the commandment, or that what Allah has commandment is that none should worship anything along with Him. And then He mentioned the right of the parents, and that one should not kill the children out of the fear of poverty. And likewise, one should not come to the fawahish, which is all of the indecent and illegal actions with the body parts or with the tongue. It's called fahisha. Foulness and wickedness can be with the statements and can be with the actions. All of this is prohibited, mentioning these in this manner like this, whether it's apparent or whether it's hidden. And He mentioned the prohibition likewise of murder and the likes. And then He said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ. This is what Allah has commanded you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, so that you may understand. So that you may understand. And then after this, the next verse, Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَأَوْفُوا الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطِ لَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَاعْدِلُوا وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَى وَبِأَهْدِ اللَّهِ أَوْفُوا ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He continues in this context, and He mentioned, and come not near to the orphan's property except to improve it until he or she attains the age of full strength, and give full measure and full weight with justice. We burden not any person but that which he can bear. And whenever you give your word, meaning between a man, or you give evidence, then say the truth, even if a near relative is concerned, and fulfill the covenant of Allah. This He commands you, that you may remember. And this verse, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He closes the verse, ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. The first verse, He closed, it was closed with the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, this Allah has commanded you, this He has commanded you, so that you may understand. So that you may understand. التعقل والتفهم والتدبر, so that you may ponder and understand. Now, this verse He has closed, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ, this Allah, He has commanded you, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ, so that you may remember. So that you may remember. So that you may remember. So before, the remembrance comes, ta'aqqul, understanding. And then after that comes the reminder. We'll see the next verse of Allah Azza wa Jal. He closes it, ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This He has commanded you so that you may fear Him and apply this knowledge that you have understood and remembered. But with regards to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَبِأَهْدِ اللَّهِ أَوْفُوا, and with the covenant of Allah, then you must fulfill. Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimahullah ta'ala, he has some benefits with regards to the explanation of these noble verses. He mentioned, وَبِأَهْدِ اللَّهِ أَوْفُوا أَهْدُ اللَّهِ مَا أَوْصَى بِهِ عِبَادَهُ. Shaykh Ibn Baz, he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala, the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, and with regards to the covenant of Allah. Because we are all upon the covenant of Allah. And we have seen in the beginning when we began studying this particular text that the covenant with Allah Azza wa Jal is the aqid. Who remembers the aqid? What's the meaning of aqid? It's a knot. Uqda is a knot. But the issue, because we're studying this book, is a book of aqidah. And it's the bond and the covenant that's in the heart of a believer. And this is the ahd and the promise and the covenant with Allah Azza wa Jal, that one will worship Him alone. Whenever He says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. This is a covenant, this is the aqd, and this is the ahd. Bain al abdi wa bain rabbihi. Annahu la yushriku bihi shay'a, wa ya'buduhu wahdahu subhanahu wa ta'ala, kama شَرَعَ عَلَى لِسَانِ رَسُولِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, that He will worship Him and no one else, and He won't associate any partners with Him. This is a contract and a covenant. فَبِأَحْدِ اللَّهِ أَوْفُوا. Naam, then with the covenant of Allah Azza wa Jal, then fulfill it. This is the first covenant. And likewise, there are covenants with the servants and covenants with the people and the creation likewise. But the first and most important covenant is the covenant and the bond and the oath that one takes with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, entering into this religion, entering into the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla. وَبِأَهْدِ اللَّهِ أَوْفُوا. Excuse me, he said, وَبِأَهْدِ اللَّهِ أَوْفُوا, and with the covenant of Allah, then fulfill it. Shaykh Ibn Baz, he mentions, أَهْدُ اللَّهِ مَا أَوْصَى بِهِ عِبَادَهُ وَمَا أَمَرَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ طَاعَتِهِ وَتَوْحِيدِهِ وَالْإِخْلَاصِ لَهُ وَتَرْكِ مَعَاصِيهِ. هَذَا أَهْدُ اللَّهِ. He mentioned that the covenant of Allah Azza wa Jal is what Allah has commanded His servants and what He has commanded them to perform and to establish from His obedience and from His tawheed and from making the religion sincerely and entirely for Him and from leaving off actions of disobedience. This is the covenant of Allah. This is the covenant of Allah. Establishing the tawheed sincerely for Allah Azza wa Jal and worshipping Him with obedience and leaving off disobedience. This is the covenant of Allah. This is the covenant of Allah. He mentioned, وَأَوْفُوا بِأَهْدِي أُوفِ بِأَهْدِكُمْ, the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, and fulfill my covenant and I will fulfill your covenant. He said, رحمه الله تعالى, أَهْدٌ أَهَدَ إِلَى الْعِبَادِ عَلَى أَيْدِ الرُّسُلِ أَنْ يَتَّقُوهُ وَيَعْبُدُوهُ وَيُطِيعُوا أَوَامِرَهُ وَيَجْتَنِبُوا نَوَاهِيَهُ فَعَلَيْهِمْ أَنْ يُوفُوا بِهَذَا الْعَهْدِ. He mentioned that the covenant, وَأَوْفُوا بِأَهْدِي أُوفِ بِأَهْدِكُمْ, وَأَوْفُوا بِأَهْدِي, fulfill my covenant. This is what the previous nations were commanded with. Fulfill my covenant and I will fulfill your covenant. Meaning, we will see the meaning of this in the coming hadith, in the hadith of Mu'adh, that the right of Allah Azza wa Jal is to be worshipped alone, and that the right from Allah that He has given upon Himself for the one who does that is that He will not punish them. So fulfill my oath and I will fulfill the oath for you. Fulfill my covenant to me and I will fulfill my covenant to you. Meaning worship me and do not associate partners with me, and obey me and do not disobey me, and I will not punish you, and I will be kind and merciful to you and enter you into my paradise. Allah Azza wa Jal, He has made this covenant to the servants at the hands of His messengers, alayhim as-salatu wassalam, that they should fear Him and they should worship Him and they should obey His commandments and stay away from His prohibitions. And this is a covenant that they must fulfill, Shaykh Ibn Baz, he mentions. And then after that, the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. He began in this manner. First, this is what He has commanded you, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. Now, ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. This is what He has commanded you so that you may remember. Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, وَصَّاهُمْ بِهَذِهِ الْوَصَّايَا لِيَتَذَكَّرُوا هَذِهِ الْوَصِّيَّةِ وَيَعْمَلُوا بِهَا وَيَلْتَزِمُوهَا. Now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has advised them and commanded them with these different commandments and prohibitions and this wasiyah, so that they may remember and that they may apply it. So that they remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is their creator, and that they were not created for play and for jest, and that they were not created for joking, rather they were created for a purpose. And that is to be submissive and obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to seek His pleasure and reward. And that they can partake and can enjoy in the good of this life, but all the while staying inside the boundaries and the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal. Staying inside the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that they can remember this wasiyah and this command. And so that they can remember and they can apply it and they can hold fast to it. And that they can hold fast to it. And then the verses continue. After this, Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentions, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبَلَ فَتَّفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِي ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And then Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned, closing this context, He says, and verily, this is my straight path. Meaning Allah's commandments mentioned in the above two verses. This is my straight path. So follow it. And follow not other paths, for they will separate you away from His path. This He has ordained for you, that you may become from the pious. That you may become from the pious. So we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned and He commanded His Prophet in the beginning of these verses, He says, قُلْ تَعَالُوا. So He told the people, come. تَعَالُوا أَتْلُوا مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ. I will recite to you what your Lord has prohibited you from. أَلَّا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. وَصَّى أَلَّا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. He has commanded that you should not associate any partners with Him. And then you should be good to your parents. And He mentioned all these other rights. And this is the straight path. And then in the end, He mentioned this is the straight path. Mentioning many other prohibitions and commandments. After these, fulfilling these prohibitions and these commandments, this is the straight path. وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. And this is my straight path. Following the commandments and staying away from the prohibitions, this is my straight path. And this is the one path. And do not follow the other paths. The other paths, the paths of disobedience, the paths of shirk, and the path of disbelief, and the path of sins, and the paths of transgression. All of these are the other paths that lead away from the straight path. So the straight path of Allah Azza wa Jalla is the path of obedience. It is the path of obedience, and the greatest act of obedience is Tawheed. But then after that, there are other rites of this Tawheed, which are the other commandments that Allah has commanded to fulfill, and the other obligations that Allah has made obligatory. The greatest obligation, His obligation and right of Tawheed. But after that, likewise, there are other obligations. The requirement to remain on this straight path is to fulfill them. Likewise, in this regard, Shaykh Ibn Baz, he mentioned, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا. And that verily, this is my straight path. Meaning the commandments that were mentioned in the previous two verses and the prohibitions that were mentioned and the legislative rights that were mentioned in the previous two verses, this is my straight path. Shaykh Ibn Baz, he mentioned, رَحِمَ ta'ala, يَعْنِي هَذِهِ الْأَوَامِرُ وَتَرْكُ يَعْنِي فِي هَذِهِ الْأَوَامِرُ وَتَرْكُ هَذِهِ النَّوَاهِي هِيَ صِرَاطُ اللَّهِ الْإِخْلَاصُ لِلَّهِ وَالْإِسْتِقَامَةُ عَلَى أَمْرِهِ وَتَرْكُ مَا حَرَّمَ هُوَ صِرَاطُ اللَّهِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ هُوَ صِرَاطُ اللَّهِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. He said, meaning that the straight path, this is my straight path, so follow it, meaning that these commandments, performing the commandments and staying away from these prohibitions, this is the straight path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Sincerity, worshipping Allah with no partners whatsoever and being steadfast and firm upon His command and leaving off that which He has prohibited, He said, هُوَ صِرَاطُ اللَّهِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. This is the straight path of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the straight path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Shaykh Ibn Baz, he mentioned, رحم الله تعالى, he says, فَعَلَى الْعِبَادِ أَنْ يَلْتَزِمُوهُ وَيَسْتَقِيمُوا عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَمُوتُوا حَتَّى يَمُوتُوا. What is incumbent upon the servants to do is to hold fast to the straight path. Hold fast to the straight path. What does that mean? How does one hold fast to the straight path? Aywa, this is the point, very important. That we understand, hold fast to this straight path, hold fast to these commandments. Hold fast to these commandments. Be aware of them and know them and learn them. Know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded in His book. Know what He has commanded by way of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and His sunnah. Know what is prohibited. Learn these commandments and prohibitions. ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. This is what He has commanded you so that you may understand. You have to learn and understand these prohibitions. ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. This is what He has commanded you and ordained for you so that you may remember. Remember that you're returning to Him. أَوْفُوا بِأَهْدِي أُوفِي بِأَهْدِيكُمْ. Fulfill my covenant and I will fulfill your covenant. So that you may remember the return to Allah Azza wa Jal. Some people, they return suddenly. Some people, they return after a long age. Some people, they return whenever they're young and the likes like this. But in any case, the return is to Allah. وَإِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. So then an individual, he should prepare for this. لَعَلَكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. And then he mentioned after that, these commandments and prohibitions, the wasiyah of Allah Azza wa Jal. He mentioned, وَأَنَّ هَذَا سِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا. This is my straight path. This is my اتبعوا, فاتبعوا, follow this path. Do not follow the other ways that take you away from this path. That take you away from this path. Then in the statement of Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimahullah ta'ala, and after clarifying the reality of this straight path, فَعَلَى الْعِبَادِ يَلْتَزِمُوهُ وَيَسْتَقِيمُوا عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَمُوتُوا. Then what the servants must do, what the people must do, what the slaves of Allah must strive for now is to hold fast to the straight path, to hold fast to these commandments in application with sincerity. And to be steadfast and firm upon the straight path until they die. He said, وَأَنَّ هَذَا سِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ يَعْنِي إِلْزَمُوهُ وَسِيرُوا عَلَيْهِ وَاسْتَقِيمُوا عَلَيْهِ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلِ. He says, السُّبُل هي البدع والأهواء والشهوات المحرمة يجب حذر الحذر منها ويجب الاستقامة على الطريق السوي على الطريق السوي. وهو الصراط الله الذي هو فعل أوامره وترك النواهي. We see that he keeps repeating this over and over, and to affirm this, he said, رحمه الله تعالى, that this is the statement of Allah, that this is my straight path. So follow it, and follow it, traverse upon it, be steadfast upon this path, and do not follow the other paths. He said, the other paths. ولا تتبعوا السبل. What are the subul? We have the word sabil, which is a path, and then we have the plural that is subul. Allah is telling us to follow the path, the one path. It's mufrad, singular. And to not follow the other paths. The subul. Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, As-subul hi al-bid'ah wal-ahwa. The subul, these paths, these different paths, they are the innovations and the desires and the whims and the shahawat al-muharrama and the prohibited lusts and desires. It's obligatory to be cautious of them and stay away from them. And it's obligatory to be steadfast upon the correct path. And the correct path is the path of Allah. وَهُوَ صِرَاطُ اللَّهِ أَلَّذِي هُوَ فِعْلُ أُوَامِرِهِ وَتَرْكُ نُوَاهِ. And in that, one must be steadfast upon the path of Allah, which the reality of this path is to perform His commandments and stay away from His prohibitions. وَهُوَ الْإِسْلَامُ وَهُوَ الْإِيمَانُ وَهُوَ الْهُدَى. And this is Islam. And this is Iman. And this is guidance. This is guidance, the performance of the obligations and knowing the greatest obligation first and foremost, and staying away from the prohibitions and knowing the greatest prohibitions first and foremost, the greatest of the prohibitions first and foremost. And this is what is being clarified in these verses and in this context, that the greatest obligation is the obligation of Tawheed, and the greatest prohibition is the prohibition of Shirk. But likewise, after that, there are other obligations and prohibitions, and performing all of these is the straight path, and being steadfast upon all of these is true Islam, and it is true and sincere Iman, and it is the correct guidance. He says, فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ, or else they will take you away from his path. He says, فَالْإِنسَانُ إِذَا أَخَذَ بِالْأَهْوَاءِ وَالْبِدَعِ وَالْمَعَاصِ ضَيَّعَتْهُ وَأَضَلَّتْهُ السَّبِيلِ وَصَارَ فِتِهِ الضَّلَالَةِ وَمَيْدَانَ الْحَلَاكِ. He mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that an individual, if he were to follow the desires, and if he were to follow the innovations, and if he were to fall into disobedience, it would lead him astray, and it would cause him to fall into negligence, and it would lead him astray from the correct path, and he would be from those who are wandering in misguidance and are on the path to destruction. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This is what Allah has ordained for you so that you may be pious. And the piety will come after understanding and knowing these commandments. The piety will come after understanding and learning these commandments and prohibitions, and then remembering them at all times, remembering them at the house and in the home and with the family and with the children and with the wife and with the husband, remembering them in the store and in the marketplaces, remembering them at the job site and at work, remembering them in the masajid with the Muslims, remembering them in the dealings with the non-Muslims, likewise, at all times, remembering them, and then لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may apply them and fear Allah Azza wa Jal. Apply them and fear Allah Azza wa Jal. Shaykh Ibn Baz, he mentioned, وَصَّاكُمْ بِهَذِهِ الْوَصَايَ لِكَيْ تَتَّقُوهُ وَتُعَذِّمُوهُ وَتَسْتَقِيمُوا عَلَى أَمْرِهِ فَذَكَرَ الْعَقْلَ أَوَّلًا وَالذِّكْرَ ثُمَّ التَّقْوَى. So he said, Allah has ordained these commandments for you so that you may fear Him and be pious, and that you may magnify Him and venerate Him and glorify Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and be steadfast upon His command. Be steadfast upon His command, upon His deen. He said that, so Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned in these verses the aql and the intelligence first, and then the remembrance second, and then at-taqwa third. He says, وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا تَأَمَّلَ وَتَعَقَّلَ عَرَفَ وَتَذَكَّرَ. He said, because this is because if an individual were to understand and he were to ponder and to think, then he will know and then he will remember. ثُمَّ يَتَّقِي بَعْدَ الْمَعْرِفَةِ وَالذِّكْرَى وَتَعَقُّلِ يَتَّقِي رَبَّهُ وَيَأْخُذُ بِالصَّالِحِ وَيَدْعُ الْفَاسِدَ يَأْخُذُ بِالصَّالِحِ وَيَدْعُ الْفَاسِدَ. He said, because an individual, if he were to ponder and to think, and then he would understand, then he would know and he would remember. And then at this time, he will be able to fear and to apply. After knowing and remembering and understanding, he will fear Allah Azza wa Jal by performing the righteous actions and staying away from the evil and the foul actions. وَيَلْتَزِيمُ الْأَوَامِرُ وَيَدْعُ النَّوَاهِ. That he would hold fast to the commandments and stay away from the prohibitions. He says, وَهَكَذَا أَوَامِرُ اللَّهِ وَالنَّوَاهِ يُذَكِّرُ بِهَا أَهْلَ الْأَلْبَابِ أَهْلَ الْبَصَائِرِ. Naam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is reminding the people of understanding, the people of insight. They will be able to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them. وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. For worshipping Him. Al-ibadah, tathallul. وَالْمَحَبَّةِ وَالْتَعْذِيمِ. For ibadah, which is tathallul, وَالْمَحَبَّةُ وَالْتَعْذِيمِ. Loving Allah Azza wa Jalla and venerating Him, being humble and submissive before Him, al-khudu' wal-istislam. Before Him, they will remember this. And they will know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded them to worship Him alone. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. And they will remember that this is the command and the reason for the coming of all of the messengers. And all of the messengers that came with the same command. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ. All of this is being established in these verses here the author has mentioned. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. In this manner and in this way. And then the author, he mentioned the statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu after mentioning these verses. قال ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه من أراد أن ينظر إلى وصية محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم التي عليها خاتمه فليقرأ قل تعالوا أتل ما حرم ربكم عليكم إلى قوله وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما الآية. And then he mentioned the statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud with regards to these noble verses. With regards to these noble verses, these three verses in the end of Surah Al-An'am. Ibn Mas'ud, he said, radiyallahu anhu, whoever would like to look at the command and the ordainment of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the wasiyah that he has left behind, then he should read that has the seal of his, the seal of the Prophet on the on this wasiyah. Then let him read the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. قُلْ تَعَالُوا أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ إِلَى قَوْلِهِ وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا. It's a few minutes till shuruq. صح. Continue a little. Until shuruq. أستاذينكم. سلام الله خير. Now, so the author here, he mentioned the statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud with regards to these verses. But before discussing the statement of this great imam and this great companion, we would like to see who is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Man hadha al-sahabi al-jaleel. Wa mata aslama. When did he accept Islam? Is he from the Muhajirin or the Ansar? From the Muhajirin, he's Muhajir. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. His kunya is Abu Abdurrahman. He is Al-Hudhali from the tribe of Hudhal. Naam, also it is mentioned that he is from the Sabiqeen al-Awwaleen, from the first and foremost and from the vanguard of Islam, from the first of those to accept Islam. Not only is he from the Muhajireen, but he's from the very first of those who accept Islam. As-sabiqun al-awwaluna min al-muhajireen wal-ansar. He's from them, radiyallahu anhu. This particular companion, may Allah be pleased with him, he witnessed the battle of Badr and all of the battles after that with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, all of the major battles. And before that, likewise, this particular companion, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he made the hijrah two times. He made the hijrah to Habasha in the fifth year after the harm of the mushrikun in Mecca became so severe. He made the hijrah to Habasha with those who went first. And then likewise, whenever some of the muhajirun that went to Habasha, they came back after they heard a rumor that Quraysh had accepted Islam. He was from those who came back. And many of them, whenever they got near Mecca, they found that the rumor was not true and they went back immediately. But Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he was from those who entered Mecca and they harmed him greatly. But he was able to return. So the Abdullah bin Mas'ud, he's from the As-Sabiqun al-Awwalun. He's from the first and foremost to accept Islam. And he is from those who migrated to Habasha and to Al-Madinah. And he witnessed the Battle of Badr and the Battle of Uhud and the great battles after that with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's been narrated by Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu that he said, قَدِمْتُ أَنَا وَأَخِي مِنَ الْيَمَنِ فَكُنَّا حِينًا وَمَا نُرَى إِبْنَ مَسْعُودٍ وَأُمَّهُ إِلَّا مِنْ بَيْتِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He mentioned that Abu Musa radiyallahu anhu, he said, I came, me and my brother, from Yemen, meaning to Medina, and for a long period of time, we thought that Ibn Mas'ud and his mother was from the family of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We thought that Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu and his mother radiallahu anha were from the family of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Min kathrati dukhurihim wa luzumihim lahu. Because of how often they would enter upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they would be with the Prophet. Whenever he came from Yemen, he came from outside, and then he would see the companions like this. He seen Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu and his mother, and he thought that they were from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam because of how much they'd enter into his home and how much time they would spend with him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Likewise, this great companion Abdullah bin Mas'ud, it has been mentioned by Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu that he said, "Inna ashbah al-nas dallan wa samtan wa hadyan bi rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam la ibnu ummi abd min hini yakruju min baytihi ila an yarjiya ilayhi la nadri ma yasna'u fi ahlihi idha khala." Hudhayfa, he mentioned that the one who resembled the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the most with regards to his manners and his etiquettes and his dress and his appearance, the way that he would speak and the way that he would walk, and in all of his outward appearance and the way that he would deal with the people, it's called al-hadyu, was samt, with dal. They have similar meanings, like the hay'ah and his appearance and the manner that he would speak and the manner that he would move and the manner that he would walk, like this. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he said, the one who resembled the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam the most was Abdullah bin Mas'ud, with regards to his manner, his speech, his talk, his walk, the way that he dealt with the people, was the great companion Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. After the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, he went to Al-Kufa, and he had many students in Al-Kufa, and they would learn from him. Al-Kufa is in Iraq. And he had many students that he would teach there. From the great students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was a student named Alqama ibn Qais al-Nakhai, rahimahullah ta'ala, from the Tabi'een. He was a student of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. But what has been mentioned in Sir al-Alam al-Nubala by al-Dhahabi, it's been mentioned a great benefit. And the Salaf, they would say لم يكن أحد من الصحابة أشبه هديا وسمتا ودلا من ابن مسعود بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. There's a hadith for this. يعني he said, but this is what the Salaf they would say. No one from the companions would resemble the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his manner and his dress and his conduct and his speech and the likes and his walk and the likes like this and his appearance, the way that Abdullah bin Mas'ud would resemble him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then they would say, وَكَانَ أَشْبَهُ النَّاسِ بِهِ عَلْقَمَةً. And the one who resembled Abdullah bin Mas'ud, they're mentioning a chain now. Those who resembled in the manner and the conduct and the appearance and the walk and the talk and the speech, the best. The one who imitated him from his companions the most in this manner, Abdullah bin Mas'ud. The one who imitated Abdullah bin Mas'ud and resembled him the most, Alqama ibn Qais al-Nakhai. He said, وَكَانَ أَشْبَهُ النَّاسِ بِأَلْقَمَ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. And the one who resembled Alqama the most, Ibrahim al-Nakhai. وَكَانَ أَشْبَهُهُمْ بِإِبْرَاهِيمِ مَنْصُورُ بْنُ الْمُعْتَمِرِ. And the one who imitated and resembled Ibrahim the most was Mansur ibn Al-Mu'tamir. And the one who resembled him the most, وَأَشْبَهَ النَّاسِ بِهِ سُفْيَانُ الثَّوْرِ. And the one who imitated Mansur ibn Al-Mu'tamir the most and resembled him with regards to his manners and his conduct and his speech and his dress and his appearance and his walk and the likes, was Sufyan al-Thawri. وَأَشْبَهُ النَّاسِ بِهِ وَكِيعُ. And the one who imitated and resembled al-Thawri the best was Waqi' ibn al-Jarrah. رحمه الله تعالى وأشبه الناس بوقيع فيما قاله محمد بن يونس أحمد بن حنبل. And the one who resembled and imitated وقيع the most and was most resembling him with regards to his manners and his conduct and his speech and his walk and the likes like this was أحمد بن حنبل رحمه الله تعالى. And then mentioning after that, the one who resembled and followed Imam Ahmad رحمه الله تعالى the most was Abu Dawood. Abu Dawood al-Sijistani. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. We see that the Salaf, they would learn from their Mashaykh and they would follow them. Especially if they knew that he was somebody who was stern in following the Sunnah. That they would look at him and watch him and they would follow his way. The way that he prayed and the way that he walked and the way that he dressed. The way that he carried himself like this. And they would strive to be like this in this manner. Because of the sternness of that individual in following the sunnah. The sternness of that individual in following the sunnah. So this is a great chain. We see those who follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and resemble him the most in his conduct, in manners, and his appearance was Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Likewise, from the virtues of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was dad Abu Bakr and Umar, both of them. Radiallahu anhuma. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq wa Umar Ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhuma, both of them, has been narrated, basharahu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qala man ahabba an yaqra al-Quran ghadban kama unzila, falyaqra ala qira'ati ibni Umi Abd. That they both gave him glad tidings. Umar and Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhuma, they came to Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, and they told him that the Prophet said about him, whoever would like to recite the Quran, غضبًا, يعني meaning كما أنزل in a manner that it was revealed, يعني without any changes, يعني without having any changes. غضبًا means fresh, يعني before it's changed, before it has any changes. Like this, whoever would like to recite the Quran, يعني precisely the way that it was revealed, then let him recite it the way of the recitation of Ibn Umi Abd, يعني Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So we see that this great companion, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're the best of the people after the prophets. We should learn something about them. And that way we can follow them. We can love them. And we can strive to be from them. And as it has been mentioned that al-mar'u ma'a man ahab, that a man, he will be with those whom he loves. And if we don't know who they are, then how can we love them? But we hope that Allah will accept from us. And we say, wallahi, we love Abdullah bin Mas'ud. We love him. And we love all of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And even like Anas mentioned, that there's no way I could reach the status of Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, but I love them. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, al-mar'u ma'a man ahab. Then an individual, he'll be with the one whom he loves. So then we love the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we hope to be with them. When we close, inshallah, and we continue next week. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.